You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
You're listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. My name is Tom Nelsop, and I'm coming to you from Urbana, Illinois. You've got Todd Ventresca over in Pittsburgh. Todd, how you doing? It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, it has been, Tom. How you been?
I think it's been about a month. What's going on your end?
You know, just watching the Buccos. Just that time of year, interleague play, and it's they just go into the tank.
Well, I asked you about the Pirates the other day, and boy, you just sound kind of down.
Well, you know, it's the same old thing, year after year. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you sit there and you watch, they keep talking about this great pitching staff, I don't see it.
I'm just listening to the interviews of Dave Littlefield, you know. I heard we sue in the last 2 weeks, and he's making the rounds of the talk show circuit, it sounds like, but he's pretty high on that.
Yeah, I don't know. He's high on something.
Yeah.
It ain't on baseball knowledge, I can tell you that.
I know.
You sit there and you watch these guys. You know, like Zach Duke, how many times you got to sit there and watch this guy get pounded every time out now? Five runs every game, you know? He comes out and he gives up 5-6 runs every game. He's given up 10 hits or so. I saw a stat the other day. Last year and this year, he's given up more hits than any starting pitcher in baseball.
I heard that they had a problem with
pitching from the stretch?
Right.
Could be, because, I mean, that's all he pitches out of. He starts every inning in the windup, but then he goes to the stretch after the first batter.
Right.
He's always got men on.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know, they talk about his mechanics. If his mechanics are all whacked up, get him to the minors, let him work on it down there. That division this year is so bad, it's there for the taking Even as bad as the Pirates have been, this was the year that if they were going to surprise somebody, this would have been it.
They've been in second place as late as, like, you know, last
year. So, you know, Solomon Torres, they put on the DL today after he's blown about 6 games this year.
Right.
He blew the game Friday night against the Yankees. Gorzolani pitches another beautiful game, has nothing to show for. He leaves with a 4-2 lead.
Right, Doug? You can't deny that.
What's that? Gorzolani?
Yeah.
Gorzolani and Snell. Other than that, that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else there.
Right.
You got Paul Mulholland, who's in the same boat as Duke. They get rocked every time, huh?
Yeah, he's like 2-9 right now.
Mulholland?
Yeah,
2-9.
2-9.
Yeah, he's one game better than Kip Wells.
Prospect for the future, Mahomes. You think eventually, like next year, he might settle down and start the numbers.
Maybe, Tom, but again, I think these guys need. I think what they need to do is get these guys back to the minors and work on things.
Right.
You know, and they've got 3 guys down in Indianapolis right now. That are pitching real good. And Van Schoten's been pitching good. Sean Burnett. And, now Brian Bullington, he's got shoulder issues again, apparently.
Right.
I just heard today. He left the game last night with shoulder soreness.
Oh.
So maybe that's a concern for him again, because he's just coming off surgery as well.
Sure. Right.
But they've got Van Schoten and, Burnett. I think, you know, they need to get those two up. Get Mulholland and Duke down. Let them work out their issues, whatever they have. Get some confidence back that they can get people out.
Yeah.
And then maybe run them back up. Solomon Torres, another one. I mean, the guy's been lights out for them for the past 3, 4, 5 years, however long he's been here now. He's pitched really well since he's come back. But this year, you know, as the closer, he blew a 4-5. As a setup man the other night, he's blown 2 in a row.
Right.
Coming in against the Nationals on Wednesday night, they rallied back to tie the game, and he comes in the ninth with the game tied, loads the bases, and throws a wild pitch to lose the game.
Right.
Friday night against the Yankees, he has a 4-2 lead, he blows that. You know, I mean, it's just all around. They put him on the DL today. They've got Danny Cole down there who's pitching really well in Indianapolis. He's got like a 2.4 ERA.
Right.
They bring up the 39-year-old Japanese guy that they signed, Kazumu Hura or whatever his name is. Guy was a legend 15 years ago.
Right.
He'll be a trivia question. Like, the only, remember the question was, who was the only guy to pitch to Maris and McGuire?
Right.
It was Nolan Ryan. This right. guy would be the only guy to pitch to Mr. O and Barry Bonds. But it's just amazing. And they bring up these, you know, they have stuff there, but they just refuse to bring them up. I don't get the decisions they make. And it's you know, it's the same old thing. And Tracy, I got no confidence in the guy.
No.
You know, with the way this team is, you can't, you have to be moving runners along. They've got guys that can steal some bases. They need to be more aggressive in that area. When they get on and have a chance to get runners in scoring position, they've got to do it. Sure. Today again, the wild game against the Yankees, you know, I think Chacon started. Chacon started today. He got rocked. It was like the fourth or fifth inning. It's 8-6 all of a sudden. The Yankees are winning.
Right.
Pirates get the bases loaded with one out. Domet comes up. Three straight swings and misses. He strikes out. And then Jose Castillo comes up. First pitch gets a little bouncer up in the middle for a forced play to end the inning. You know, it's things like that. When they get into situations, there's situational hitting. They've got one of the lowest averages, I think, with men in scoring position in the league. It's just amazing. I mean, they've had chances to do better, and they're just not coming right. through. But then Tracy, too, like I said, you know, these guys will not, they can't move runners along when they need to. They can't put the ball in play when they need to. And I don't know. I mean, you want to hold somebody accountable, you got to hold the manager accountable, I guess.
Is that true, though? I don't know. I mean, that's easy.
Well, I don't know. I think when it comes down to fundamentals, somebody's got to be preaching fundamentals to these guys.
Right.
And when it doesn't happen, when you see guys making dumb mistakes on the bases, when everybody that knows anything about baseball knows they shouldn't have been doing,
right.
and then the manager backs them up at the end of the game, he says he has no problem with them right. being aggressive.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's just a cop out.
That seems to be a real epidemic this year in terms of, you know, lack of fundamentals, stupid base running mistakes. Maybe it's me. I've been seeing a lot of just real boneheaded plays this year. You know,
I think it's been an epidemic for a while.
Okay.
In baseball. I think the problem is, Tom? I mean, it is the fact that a lot of guys now, they get rushed through. There's a lot of pressure on these guys because of the money they're getting paid when they're drafted.
Sure.
There's a lot of pressure to get these guys up to the bigs as soon as they can, right? So I don't think they're not in the minors long enough. They're not getting coached in the minors on the fundamentals of the game. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Right.
And the game has definitely changed. It's definitely changed.
No, I think you're right. Did you get a chance to follow the first-year player draft?
I know that that third baseman that the Cubs took.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Pirates were going to take him if they didn't. Yeah. And then so the Cubs took him with the third pick, and then the Pirates took the lefty from Clemson, another pitcher they take.
Right. I saw your comment about that.
I mean, you know, all you kept hearing was, oh, maybe we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't take pitchers anymore. Well, then they take this guy. And then you hear another story. Of course, the owners have refuted it, but there was another guy they were really high on, apparently. But apparently he's represented by Scott Boras.
Right.
And Boras tagged him as a special player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which he's done, like, with J.D. Drew and those guys. So, the guy wants major league money and a major league contract.
Well, of course they do. They all do, but
right away, he wants a 4-year deal. He wants the service time in the minors to count as his major league time.
Right.
Which means that even if he spends 4 years in the minors and comes up, you know, he only has to spend 2 years before he becomes a free agent.
Right.
And things like that. And So the rumor was that the Pirates shied away from him and went cheap. Of course, right. They say, that's not true. We drafted the guy we wanted, but
right.
Who knows?
No.
We'll see.
What I'm reading lately is that the Boris factor was not as big as it has been in the past, and that, what doesn't mean that it's not noticeable, but I think that what they're saying is that teams were not adjusting their picks as much because, you know, because Boris was representing a player or not. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
It really, you know, it's hard to say.
It is.
But,
we'll see.
It seems like, from what I could tell, there were players that, you know, Purcell, for example, I was pretty high on him. He got picked in the late first round, and there were, I thought, players that went ahead of him, that I thought were plenty good, but I thought, Purcell was a lot better than they were, and it could be because he was, you know, represented by Boris. I don't know. He may not be, but, I was just surprised he lasted as long as he did. I'm sure that the Tigers were you know, quite happy that
quite happy to get a player like that. Yeah.
Well, we got him, and then anyone after the Tigers, I think it was probably the 25th, 26th pick. You know, oh man, could have gotten him.
Well, you know, that happens.
It happens. Yeah. I mean,
players slide in all sports.
Right.
You know.
It does happen. So,
but we'll see what happens. Yeah, the Pirates' history with first round pitchers,
right?
Their first round picks of pitchers is not good. I mean, they've drafted I don't know how many. With that first pick over going back to Chris Benson.
Right.
You know, they've all had arm problems except for maybe Mahalan. And I think since Benson, not counting Benson, but every pitcher they've drafted in the first round since. So I'm talking about maybe in the last 7-8 years.
Right.
They've probably drafted 5 or 6 pitchers.
Right.
They've got a total of 13 major league wins, and I think Mahalan has 13 of maybe the 16 or something like that. it's just right. Amazing. It's just him. I mean, everybody else has had surgery.
Sure.
And Ben Shelton, Bullington, the guy that they drafted last year, Brad Lincoln.
Right.
He came into spring training this year. Boom. He got hurt, elbow surgery. He's out for the year. Sean Burnett. I mean, all those guys that they drafted with first picks, it's just,
I was agreeing that this year the percentage of high school players was incredibly low, like almost to the point where it almost broke the record for least amount of high school players compared to, you know, JUCO and college players.
Yeah,
and that's surprising because I was usually it's a fair amount of high school players that get drafted.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's just me. I'd be wary of drafting high school pitchers.
Well, me too.
The fact that these kids, they get so overused in high school.
Oh, I know.
Just look, I mean, Carey was a perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know, that guy was throwing him during that state championship run that year. He was pitching 2 games a day, 14 innings a day.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know,
who was it?
Throwing that slider that he had. I mean,
I think it was Will Carroll. Who said that a high school or even you know before that a high school pitcher, you can make your son a high school pitcher is like you know encourage him to smoke when he's in high school. There's an analogy between that because you're doing that much damage to his arm, you know.
Yeah.
That you're basically here become a pitcher and basically. We're gonna do this much damage to your arm. Of course, it's you know you're not doing that much damage to the whole body, but you're doing that much damage to the arm, and basically this damage could be you know lifelong, you know that kind of thing. That basically that was his point. So yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, you know, what I see during the summer, you know, because I umpire.
Sure.
And what I see is just, it's amazing. 14-year-old kids, 15-year-old kids out there throwing, you know, 80, 90, 100 pitches in a seven-inning game.
Right.
And maybe 30 to 50% sometimes throwing curveballs.
Right.
Or curveballs.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just amazing. And if a kid has a good curveball,
right,
these coaches will ride it because there's very few kids that are 14, 15, 16 years old that can hit a good curveball.
Right, right.
You know? And these coaches will ride it, and I mean, you know, because they call the pitches, and I'm telling you, it is amazing. It is amazing. I was doing a game about 3 years ago, 14-year-old tournament. This kid was through, he pitched, I think, they took him out in the sixth.
Right.
He had to throw 100 pitches, and I bet 50 of them were curveballs.
Right.
And, excuse me, the coach finally yanked the kid. And he takes him out. This guy's arm is dead. That's why they're taking him out.
Right.
And he puts him at shortstop.
Oh.
Right? The longest throw in the infield. God. He puts him at shortstop.
Oh,
after this kid just threw 100 pitches. I think, you know, I wanted to just toss the coach right there just for being dumb. Why are you throwing me on? Because you're an idiot. And take your shortstop with you just to save his arm and throw him out, you know? I mean,
oh my God.
It is amazing the things that you see, Tom.
Right.
Oh my God. So.
Right.
So these kids are being, I mean, the stats are out there. The number of teenage kids now have an elbow surgery.
Right.
It's amazing. It is amazing. So,
That's why it's so important to get a coach with an eye for the future and actually, quite honestly, a good heart, you know.
Well, Little League now has instituted a pitch count rule.
I saw that today.
They have instituted a pitch count rule this year,
right,
you know, now going forward.
I
think the next thing they need to do is eliminate the breaking balls.
Right.
I think they need to do that.
Okay,
and somebody was asking me, I was talking to somebody about it, and they said,
right,
well, how do you enforce it? I said,
you
make it a rule in the rule book,
right,
and then you do the umpire. He sees a curveball, boom, that's it. The kid's done. He's out.
Right. So do you think that would be easy to enforce as an umpire? Would that be easy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you come up, first of all, if it's a rule in the rule book,
right,
it's enforceable. Then there's no question.
But there's no, you know, leeway is okay. It breaks just like a tiny bit, and like okay, that was fastball that just broke just a little bit, that kind of thing.
No, you can tell.
You can tell right away.
Right. You can tell. You can tell when a kid's throwing because half the time, Tom, the ball just comes in spinning.
Right.
Most of these kids can't even throw a curveball.
Right.
They're up there. They're busting their arms up for pitches that don't even work.
Right.
You know. So it's very simple.
You know when they're doing it.
Yeah, you know when they're doing it. It's very simple.
You know more about this than I do, so.
No, you can see it. If you were back there, you'd see it too. You could tell.
You'd
see it. You could see a curveball coming in.
Right.
You just see all the spin. You know, a fastball rotates one way, curveball definitely comes in slower,
sure,
and with an arc on it, because they can't throw it. So when it's coming in spinning and it's slow, it's definitely. So it's very simple to enforce in the catch. And I mean, all you'd have to do is, if it's a rule in the rule book, then there's a no-brainer. And you just tell the coaches up front, hey, you know, one curveball and the penalty should be the coach is gone and the pitcher's gone.
Right.
That's what the penalty should be.
No warning.
No warning. I wouldn't put a warning. No warning. But the penalty should be, not only does the pitcher go, but the coach goes as well.
Right.
And then the coach should be suspended
again. Is
that
your take on it, or is that what you read in the book?
No, there is no rule on it.
There is no rule, that's just your idea.
No. It's like Little League has instituted the pitch count.
Right.
But it's nothing that the umpire can enforce. The way they have it, it's that obviously an umpire can't enforce a pitch count.
Sure.
Because you can't count pitches on top of everything else. But
sure. But
my take on the curveball thing would be that's how I would write the rule if it were up to me.
Right.
It would be no curveball and no warning.
Right.
Boom. And
up to what
the penalty would be pitcher and the coach are both done.
Up to what level?
And a suspension for one game of the coach.
Up to what level, though? Up to, you know.
Well, in all honesty, Tom.
Yeah?
Yeah, varsity baseball. I mean, I don't know. Definitely a little league. I would say definitely.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't even do it like in the 14-year-olds. I hate seeing them do it.
Right.
You know, you're not going to, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you draw the line.
Sure.
But definitely 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-old kids should not be throwing curveballs.
No.
That I know. That I know. And I don't even know if 13 and 14-year-old kids should be throwing them either.
Right.
But, you know, and I think the result would be, you'd find kids that learn how to pitch
right.
by going in and out, up and down, and changing speeds. You could throw a changeup. It doesn't hurt your arm. You could
right.
throw a fastball and then throw a changeup. Move your location around, and I think you're okay. You learn how to pitch. I mean, I think that's what needs to be done. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just me. That's just my opinion.
So getting back to the draft. Two and I got drafted. Lars Davis got drafted in the third round, 102nd pick overall. Wasn't too big of a surprise. He's, you know, Big Ten player of the year.
No, that's their catcher.
He's the catcher.
The freshman, right?
Yeah. He was junior.
Oh, junior.
He's the second team, second year on the team. And he was second team, All-American. They announced that last
So week. What's his plans? Is he going to go? Or is he going to come back?
Was it yesterday in the local paper that he's already anticipating that he's going to his contract and how much they actually quoted him on our how much he thinks he might make, and I thought that was kind of not such a good idea to be talking about that kind of thing once he had the contract in hand, so. I think maybe the
yeah, they have an idea, Tom.
They have an idea, yeah. I don't know. Just how I thought. But anyway, I was very happy to hear
he. Well, that's good.
Junior and I'd really miss him next year, but honestly, with his stats, and I've seen him play, when I see Lars Davis on the field this year, He really established, you know, a presence on the field, just real leadership qualities, and, I always felt that, you know, if anyone, a college player, you know, was ready for the pros, it was Lars Davis. You know, there's no doubt about that. He just total control of the situation, and, you know, boy, he can see it hit, you know, he gets the crap out of ball.
You can't blame the kid
for chasing
the dream. He's got the opportunity. You know, he's going to come back to Illinois for another year and play, or he can play another year and get paid.
Yeah, exactly. And probably have the ball doing it, too.
And then our buddy Sean Roof.
I was just, when I saw that he got drafted, I had a big smile.
By the Tigers, right?
By the Tigers, yeah. I saw that, and I was really happy. I shot off an email to him really quick and congratulated him. He and I have just been every time I've gone to an Atlanta game, he takes the time to chat with me for a few minutes and shake my hand. He's a really nice guy, and I was really happy that he got drafted. And I think there's no one that hustles more, no one that makes the game more exciting, and so I was happy to see that. And I think he, if I'm not mistaken, if he does get assigned to the AAA team, he actually may get to be on in the Midwest League, so I may get a chance to see him play if I go to a couple of Midwest League games. So. So congratulations to both Lars and Sean. I was really happy to see they both got drafted.
Yep. Yeah, it was good.
That's good. I got a chance to go to the Big Ten tournament a couple weeks ago. That was real, really exciting just because I've never been to, I've been to a Big Ten tournament here in Champaign, Urbana, a couple years ago when the Illini hosted it, but I've never gone to never seen the Illini play on the road, and this is just really exciting. So I went to
Banana Arbor, right?
Banana Arbor, yeah, it was really kind of cool. And it was cool because, well, they did win the first game. That was really good because they beat Iowa pretty decisively. And unfortunately they lost the next two games. But it was still kind of nice because it was, you know, I got to see them play for three games I got to see some, you know, pretty good Big Ten action. That was pretty cool. And one thing that was kind of nice is I got a chance to meet some big Illini parents that were there. And a couple of them, they're like, "Oh yeah, I've seen the Baseball Zealot site, and we would appreciate you putting the pictures up and everything like that." And that was kind of cool. it was pretty interesting to see all the Big Ten teams played. The six that were there, I should say. The top six were ones that actually played,
in the
tournament. Yeah. I met John Sears. You know, he was there watching his son play. He's the,
from the USA Today, right?
Today, yeah. I saw him there and I thought, boy, he looks familiar. Is that John Sears? You know, and then I talked to the guy I was with, and he's like, "Is that John Serafino?" And we thought, "No, yeah, USA Today, they wouldn't send you know, John Serafino to cover the Big Ten tournament, the baseball tournament." And so we thought, "No, it could be." But it turns out his son is the backup catcher for Penn State. So I decided to go up and talk to him, and he's an incredibly nice guy. He stood up, shook my hand, and pointed out to his son over in the bullpen, and just, you know, really incredibly nice guy, so, yeah.
It's good.
That was fun. we did fun. Unfortunately, the one I did eventually lose in the losers round, I did stick around for the last day. Got to Ohio State did eventually win. They were actually the last seed. They defeated Minnesota, but that was a lot of fun anyway. So let's get back to the major leagues. What's your take on the Roger Clemens media hype? Has he basically replaced Matsusaka?
I thought it was nice how they decided to hold him back and make his first start against that juggernaut, the Pirates. Maybe they decided to ease him in there.
It must have taken a lot for him to not take on the Red Sox, and they had to do. They were going to do the White Sox then, right? And then.
It was supposed to be the White Sox on the road, and then they decided let's have him at home, and he can play, you know, pitch against the Pirates. Maybe we'll make it easy.
What was the problem?
Here's the other thing. Do you want to talk about something else that drives me crazy about Jim Tracy?
What?
They know the guy's coming in there, right? An old man. he's got a sore groin going into the game. Shouldn't they have been laying the ball down and bunting on this guy? Duffy and Wilson, those guys, this guy bounce off the mound and try to make some plays.
Yeah, because he's not as nimble as he used to be.
Hayden. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, a guy, if I could take him, why can't he?
Right, yeah.
You know?
Well, they're not as smart as we are, I don't think.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously they're not. Yeah. So.
Well, I think we're gonna have to suffer through everything that we went through with Matsusaka, where it's Clemens' first, you know, first start against the Sox, first start against the AL West, first start against the National League, everything, and they're gonna publicize it and hype it, and you get to buy the first, you know, commemorative this and commemorative that, and Major League Baseball is going to, you know, make as much money off of this as possible.
It is ridiculous. I can't even watch ESPN anymore.
Right. No.
You know? It's like the other 28 teams are an afterthought.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a team 10 and a half, 11 games out of first place in last place for a while
right.
get so much attention.
Right, yeah.
The Yankees.
No, that's a very good point, yeah. it was the Phil Hughes thing for a while, and of course he got he's injured now, and no, yeah, it's gonna be. I don't know. What do you see the Yankees ending up? What's your prediction for the AL East?
I don't see the Yankees making a postseason. I mean, with that pitching staff, how can they do it?
The Sox are so way ahead right now that, you know.
Yeah, well, the division's over. They can't win the division.
No.
And the wild card, I don't see them doing it. I mean, they got a little hot
not
now.
With, where the Red Sox are now.
You know, they swept the Pirates. Woohoo! So, but I don't see.
I remember rooting for the Pirates.
Pirates haven't won a game in New York since 1960, since the World Series. Yeah, they got swept, I think, every time they've been there for an early play.
Oh God!
So, but anyway, they just can't. I don't see the Yankees doing. You know, they better. Maybe they'll end up 500 or a little over. I don't know, but I don't see them getting into the postseason now.
I know.
There's just no way. The pitching's not going to do it. Clemens is going to like go every fifth game anyway, so.
Right.
I don't see him doing anything either.
What was their MO for getting Clemens? What was time?
The Yankees?
Why did they get him?
They needed a pitcher.
To do what?
I think they figured they needed a pitcher. They could get him.
To win.
And who could win? I think they thought that he could turn the whole staff around for some reason. I don't know why. He's not going to make these guys come off the DL any quicker.
Right.
And he's not going to make the bullpen any better.
Right.
The bullpen, even if Clemens could keep them in five, six innings, I mean, then the bullpens, they still got to go to the bullpen.
Sure.
And the bullpen's atrocious.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know what the problem
is.
Why they thought he was going to be the end all, the be all.
He's not a pitcher that's going to last nine innings anymore. Even last year it was six innings at most, and
nobody does.
So I don't see it. No.
25-year-old pitchers can't go nine. I mean, I don't think why a 40-some-year-old guy's going to be able to. So I don't understand it. I just figured it's the Yankees. And
right.
Red Sox, we can't let the Red Sox get them. So
last weekend, as you know, Todd, we got together for our annual April APA get together.
Uh-huh.
I get in the door at Teddy Ballgame's house. The first thing I hear is that Barrett and Zambrano are having a hissy slap fight. which essentially is what it was. I mean, I heard it was a fight. Zambrano punch bear, from what I
after
hear,
down in the clubhouse, they got into it again.
Okay,
that's where the damage occurred.
Right, but at the time, I heard that dugout was more of a hissy fight.
You know, Carlos Zambrano has always been the type of pitcher. I mean, the guy's he's a talented pitcher. There's
very
no doubt. He's struggling this year, but he's a very good pitcher.
And
his history has been when his team. Yeah, when the team behind him starts playing sloppy, it affects him.
It does.
And he doesn't like it.
No.
And rightfully so. He shouldn't like it.
Rightfully so, he shouldn't.
But I think what happened, though, was a combination. He's having a rough year.
Right.
He didn't get the contract. That fell through when they announced the sale of the team. So he didn't get the contract. So now he's upset with that. He's been pitching bad. The team's been playing bad up to that point. And I think... you know, earlier in the game, Merton, you know, the lead, if they had a lead glove award, he'd certainly be the leading candidate for it. But he missed, you know, he dropped a fly ball in right field. And a couple other things. Barrett, a couple times throwing the ball back to him after pitches was bounced one at his feet, made him jump for another one, things right. like that, you know.
Right.
He was getting agitated. And then he throws the pitch where maybe they were crossed up, looked like Barrett got crossed up. A wild pitch, and then he picks the ball up, and for no reason, throws the third. He didn't have a prayer
right.
of throwing this guy out, and he airmails it in the left field, run scores. I think it was it. At the end of the inning, Zambrano just had it. He
right.
came in, you could tell him, look at Barrett, he's pointing to his head, saying, you know, use your head, or whatever. And then Barrett, I don't know, it appeared that he was pointing at the scoreboard, telling
right.
Zambrano,
that's
hey, you know, only 13 hits and 7 runs. That
but
wasn't because of that, you know.
Zambrano thought he was pointing at Zambrano's head, is what I've been hearing.
Well, I
but
mean, you could tell Barrett was turning and, like, pointing out of the dugout,
yeah,
like, maybe towards the scoreboard, or maybe saying the right field, that wasn't me
right.
in right field, or something.
Or
he was talking about the Merton player pointing at the scoreboard. Well, then, he turned, and he went to grab Zambrano, and when he reached out to grab Zambrano, that's when Zambrano started throwing the punches at him. Well, then
right.
they got separated. Then they went, you know, Zambrano went down to the clubhouse. Barrett went to the clubhouse, huh?
Why did they get sent to the locker room alone?
I don't know that they both did. I know Zambrano, as soon as it broke up, Zambrano went down.
Right. And why did Barrett?
So
why did
Barrett I don't know why Barrett went down at that time. Maybe because he was still pissed. I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm sure that's why.
But for somehow, anyway, they both ended up in the locker room. Next thing you know, you see some personnel running out,
right.
getting Derek Lee. Derek Lee turns and goes shooting down there, like
okay,
they need
know,
to get him hurt again.
Just second mistake right there.
Yeah.
Don't be getting your highly paid superstar.
The best hitter on your team. Let's go get him
that.
Hurt again.
You know,
and then you see Pinello going down.
Okay,
well, apparently
Pinello, that's fine. Get him involved.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But yeah, this is just what happened.
I don't want Ramirez or Dee Lee involved in that because that's just, you know what's going to happen is that, you know, Dee Lee's going to get punched or he'll get in the middle of it and he'll get his lip. You know, Barrett, I don't
right.
care so much about, but well, I should say that,
no.
But you know, Derek Lee, I'm sorry, I don't want him involved in that, you know, because he'll just get hurt somehow. Don't be getting him involved.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've never been a fan of Michael Barrett. I don't think the guy's any angel. Everybody wants to talk about the catcher on the south side being a jerk or whatever. I think the one on the north side is just as bad.
Oh, I don't
in my
know.
Opinion.
Well, I think you're wrong on that one.
I don't. I mean, look what he did to Pruszynski. That was a sucker punch. He sucker punched Pruszynski for no reason.
Okay, this is our.
That was a sucker punch.
We'll
but,
win this one.
Yeah. So anyway. But, and so I don't know what happened here, but I mean, you know, Barrett's no angel either, and
I
like
Barrett
Carlos Zambrano. I've always liked Zambrano. I like his heart.
Among Cubs fans, I don't think Barrett is winning any fans because of the way he's playing and hitting, fielding, you name it. So,
right.
I think they're ready for a change, you know, behind the plate.
But. Yeah, but who?
Yeah, well, they've got, two or three, besides Wongo, I mean, we've got, Fox, and we've got, who's the other one? And of course they got, I know one in the minors right now, like the former Illini, Chris Robinson, but he's a double A. But I'm sure they got a few others that are waiting their wings right now anyway.
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
well, we'll see.
I'm getting back, I heard, you know, this whole thing happened, and the next day is when, Pinoa, you know, lost it. And actually, I want to stop right here and ask your opinion on the whole kicking the umpire thing. Do you think, from what you saw, any of the highlight reels, do you think Pinoa kicked the umpire? Do you think he deserved a 3-game suspension, or? It seems to me he was just kicking dust, and was there any contact? But the umpire from Pinello's point of view, or?
You know, I don't know. I didn't really see it.
Okay.
So I can't answer that.
It just seems like that was
but I can't tell you one thing.
What's that?
I'll tell you one thing about that umpire.
Who was it?
After that series?
Yeah.
he went down to the Pirates had him in Washington.
Yeah.
That same umpire.
Yeah.
On Tuesday night, Tuesday night, he was at first base. There was a play.
Right.
Now, first of all, my understanding is that the play at third base that Pinella went nuts about,
right.
the guy was safe.
Okay.
Based on replays from what
right.
I heard.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't see the play,
sure.
But what I've been told was that the replay showed that he was safe.
Right.
It was a bang-bang play, but
oh, sure.
They said he was safe.
Yeah.
All right. So in real life, maybe he could have gone either way. But anyway,
yeah.
So I'm watching a Tuesday night now. The Pirates, there was a play at first base. Dimitri Young was at first. Ball came up, short hopped him, came up into his belly, rolled over into his arm. The guy crossed the bag, and he called the guy out.
Okay.
And the replay clearly showed he never had possession of the ball.
It was up his arm, but not rolling. It
was moving all over the place.
Sure.
And he was sick. And he got past the bag, and then Young finally pulled the ball out and held it up, and he rang him up.
Okay.
Him up. So we clearly blew that play. Tracy came out and argued with him there.
Right.
Of course, Tracy was a lot calmer than Lou. And then the next night, the guy was behind the plate, and he was atrocious.
Right.
You know, and I don't normally, you know me, I don't normally criticize umpires.
No.
This guy, right. I've seen him three times, I mean, he's been awful.
Right.
He's an awful umpire. So, then at ninth inning, where the Pirates, Torres blew the game, one of them was a 2-2 pitch to Austin Kearns, who was on the inside corner, on the inner half of the plate, not even on the corner.
Right.
Fell high for strike three, and,
sure.
And Kearns took it, and he called it a ball.
Oh, really?
I mean, it wasn't even close. And Tracy, they started barking from the dugout on that one, too.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's turning and looking at them, you don't like that call? And, you know, they're like, no. So I have a high opinion of that guy.
Right.
Now, you know, I don't know if Lou made contact or not. I didn't see that. I didn't even see the highlights of it.
So anyway, I'm talking. You know, Pinella has gone out. He made his point very vehemently with the umpire. Gets kicked out. Eventually gets suspended for three games. I was talking at Teddy Ballgame when we were riding it out. I said, you know what? I wonder if this would be good for the Cubs. And he's like, what? I wonder if this little blow up will be good for what? Good for, you know, Cubs morale. I wonder if this would be what Cubs need. I've heard a lot. If my memory serves, when Pinella picked up that base when he was with those Mariners.
Yeah.
I think they actually went on some small winning streak. Yeah, after that, it just sort of shook up their, you know, whole mentality and sort of, you know, gave them a little bit of a morale boost.
Way better.
And now they won what, 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6, or I guess they lost yesterday.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Tough is crazy, but they beat the Brewers 2 out of 3, and they beat the Braves, I think, at least two games. So, I don't know. Maybe they're going to get out of their farm.
Got Soriano going.
Yeah, no kidding. What, three home runs?
Got Soriano going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 5 for 5 game.
Right. He's, I'm just reading headline right
now. Yeah, he's been on the tear this week.
Yeah, we'll just see how he
goes. There you go.
Who knows?
How about that wild night, what was it, Thursday night maybe, where with the Giants losing all their players and having they had to end up putting Noah Lowry in right.
Oh, no
moving
way.
Yeah, their backup catcher got hurt. It was the 10th inning. There was collision at the plate, and he got hurt and had to leave the game. They were out of position players.
Oh, God.
So they had to put Noah Lowry, they put him in right. They moved the guy that was playing right into the center. Right, Randy went in, moved him to third, and Pedro Feliz went behind the plate and caught.
Oh, my God.
And then that same night, Tampa Bay had to bring in Josh Wilson, who's their backup shortstop,
right.
to pitch.
Oh, my God.
He pitched a scoreless inning. Josh Wilson's from Pittsburgh. He was a third round pick of the Marlins back, I think, in 99.
Right.
And my cousin's daughter dated him.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and he played out at Kane County. And when I was living out in Aurora, she came out to see him and that, and he was over at my house and I had dinner with him.
Wow.
Brought him over, and he got us tickets that year to half a dozen games.
Wow.
He left us, got us tickets, so we saw a lot of Kane County Cougar games that year.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, he's a real nice kid. And, you know, he's struggling, but, you know, he's up there now. He started the year with Washington, and then he got released, and then Tampa Bay picked him right up.
Right.
And he's been doing a little bit better with Tampa Bay. But he came in and he had pitched a scoreless eighth inning.
Right. Yeah, speaking of Tampa Bay, what do you do with a player like Elijah Dukes, huh? I mean, he's got, like, what, 10 home runs, I think? He's hitting, like, 190, I think, but...
Yeah, and he's a knucklehead.
Oh, he's
apparently
knucklehead is playing it very nicely. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
Delon Young looks very nice, like an angel.
You know, I don't know what you do. He's like who was the other guy with the 10 home runs and hitting a buck? Marcus Thames was like that one year with Detroit, wasn't he?
Right.
Two years ago. He was the same way, power but no average. But I don't know. I don't know what you'd do with him.
I don't know.
Tampa Bay is a whole team of guys like that, though. Right? Well, they got all those young guys, and none of them, Gomes
down to the minors now. They got rid of him, but at least for a temporary.
I mean, Young's not doing a whole lot, right?
Right.
Unless he turned it around. But the first month and a half, he didn't do a whole lot. Yeah.
So what's the latest on Bonds?
Very struggling right now.
Yeah.
He went on that tear, and then people start walking him again and that, and now he can't get back into the groove.
Right.
What's he got, like one homer in 10 games now or something? I don't know.
You know, I kind of wish that the media would leave Hank Aaron alone. You know, it's like he made this very clear last year that he was not going to attend the game, that the Bonds would break the record. They made it clear at the beginning of this season. And now, every day, I think they're at the media asks him, the same question. And then it kind of makes him look bad because he has to answer the same way. It's like, you know, leave Aaron alone. He doesn't have to be able to answer this question the same way. And it's not like he's going to change his mind or anything. I don't know.
My opinion is I think Hank Aaron was a great ball player, and I love the guy, but I think he's wrong in this. It's just my opinion. I think he should be there.
Well, it's not a right or wrong question. It's whether or not he wants to or not, I think.
Well, you know, everybody's convinced with the steroids and that, and for some, you know, Barry's the whipping boy. Like, he's the only guy out there that was doing anything to get an advantage.
Right.
I mean, which I think pretty much we all all know, I think.
Right.
Deep down, we all believe that, you know, there was a high majority of players,
right,
a high percentage of players
doing
something. And Barry wasn't the only one.
Sure.
You know,
I agree.
Barry's name, you know, he's getting dragged through the mud. Roger Clemens' name showed up. Jason Grimsley named him.
Right.
He was named by... That was just, no, not Roger. Nobody believes it. I was
right.
Like, come on.
Do you think race is an issue? Do you think race is an issue with that? I'm not trying to play a race car or anything, but, I mean...
Oh, with Clemens?
Roger Clemens is not even... Roger Clemens' name was there, but he's...
No, I don't think it's race, Tom, because if you look at Mark McGwire, I think he's paying a price by not getting into the Hall of Fame this year and the few votes that he got.
Right.
So I don't think it's race. I think it had more to do with, you know, Clemens is a media darling.
Right.
And Barry,
well,
Barry's not.
I would never say that, though. Roger Clemens is a media darling? I don't know.
Look at the attention that he's getting.
Look at the attention he's been getting.
Put
it this way, 2 years ago, I would never say that. Now he is. You're right. But 2 years ago, this was a guy who said, what was it? During a playoff game, he yelled an obscenity to an umpire and got kicked out for it, I think. What was that?
Oh, yeah, when he was with the Red Sox.
Right. This is a while ago.
Terry Cooney was the umpire. Right. He called a ball and Clemens started MFing him and he threw him out.
Right.
Third inning or something.
He shouldn't have. He should have.
But
still, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he has turned into a media darling, and the media loves the guy, and, you know, plus, you know, he's ESPN's buddy.
Oh, I know.
So, right. You know, they love him, so that's all you need anymore.
Right.
So they just, you know, they refuse to run with that. But Barry, on the other hand, you know, they'll go after him for everything.
Sure.
Every little thing. So. Right. So, that's my take on that. And the other thing I think is terrible, Bud Selig. Saying, oh, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
He should just make up his mind.
He should just be there. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah.
He should be there. And
I agree, yeah.
And I also agree with Jason Giambi, with what he said a couple of weeks ago. He came out, and he said, you know, baseball needs to suck it up and just admit there was a problem.
Right.
And that we should have did something sooner. We've got stuff in place now. We're taking care of it now, and just do it. You know, just admit it. You know, so.
How many home runs are we weighing at right now? 9 or 10?
Who, Barry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, I think, what, 745, maybe?
Right.
46, somewhere around there, yeah.
What are chances do you think that he will not do it this year? Given his late,
well, he's got almost 4 months left to do it.
Right.
You know, hundreds of games.
I've heard rumors that he's not well. I mean, he's got possible possible injury. No, nothing definite, just rumors.
His knee again, or what?
I don't know what it is.
Because that was his problem last year with that knee. You know,
right.
he can't turn on it and
exactly.
get the power that he needed.
Why all of a sudden he's not
to drive the ball.
That.
But, I mean, he was on a tear.
And all of a sudden he just isn't hitting.
Then
why?
He just... You know, it's like when they stop pitching to him again, and then now all of a sudden he's struggling to get back in any form. I don't know. The guy is 41, 42 years old, or whatever he is now.
Right.
So.
I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. I think most likely he will do it. It may be late.
It was a sure thing, you know, a month ago, or, you know, maybe two or three weeks ago. It was a sure thing. Now it's like, there's like that possibility that maybe the reason he's not hitting is there's an nagging issue with something going on, and who knows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if his knees bother him again, then it could be an issue. Especially if he's got to go into DL for any amount of time.
Right. So, I don't know.
So...
We'll see.
I'm pulling for him. I've always been a Barry fan.
I'm not a Browns hater. I'm not a Browns lover either, quite honestly. So.
Yeah. But, you know, the Pirates still, you know, messed up back then.
Right.
What are you going to do? And they're paying for it.
Sure.
You know, they decided to sign Van Slyke. They were both up for deals, and they went for Van Slyke instead of Barry, and ever since then, they've done it. 14 years. Haven't had a winning season since he's left.
Well, so that's the reason, huh?
I think it has a lot to do with it.
That could be. Or maybe it could be Bonilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Bonilla wasn't here the last year they won the division.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Bonilla was on the first two division winners, but not the third one. He was in New York.
All right, so what's up for the next couple weeks? All-Star Games coming up within a month.
Yeah.
That should be pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That's
got the all-important home field advantage.
Here in Champaign Urbana, we have the vintage baseball team, the Vermilion Vols. They're starting up their season. That's always real exciting for the family. We like to go to those games. Do you guys have a vintage baseball
team? I don't know. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting.
It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, it is really fun.
I go to a game and get some pictures and put them on the blog. I have some from last year. But it's a lot of fun just to watch and to, spend the afternoon watching some just old fashioned baseball.
And really old fashioned.
Yeah, really old fashioned. Yeah, they make a big production out
really,
of it.
Really, really old fashioned.
Jim Knobloch, who actually has been a guest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out, he's dressed up in his suspenders and his bowler hat, and he comes out and he talks about and you know, old time, you know, accent, and he talks to the guys called, you know, the cranks, or who are called, who are the fans, and he kind of introduces the game, and it's a lot of fun. The next game is like Saturday, so maybe I'll kind of get out there. So that's what we're going on, so.
Yeah. No, I'll be taking in the Rangers are coming to town this week. I think I'm going to go down to see them one night.
That's cool.
And then the White Sox are in over the weekend, so, I'm going on Father's Day.
Chicago coming
out
to see them?
Nobody from Chicago, but, a couple of the Ripslinger guys out of the brothers are coming in from Iowa.
All right.
So, yeah.
Cool.
So.
Alright, if you want to email us, our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. You can give us a call. Our phone number is 217-883-4571. And, of course, if you want to check out our website, our website is www.baseballzealotradio.com. Any last words before we say goodbye to our endearing fans?
no last words.
I wanted to say one thing before. I wanted to say that in addition to Sean Roof getting drafted, his brother Jonathan got drafted.
Oh,
did you know that?
Really?
Not Eric, not the brother from Michigan State, but the younger brother who
out of high school
who was going to go to Michigan State. He may still. I don't know. Well, I mean, a lot of these high school.
Where was he drafted? What round?
It was like two rounds after Sean, probably 35th round.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times, you know, these high school players get drafted and, you know, who knows what happens. But, you know, hey, if he gets a good contract, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great, you know. And who knows, maybe Eric will get drafted in, you know, in 2008, or he's a sophomore, I think. So, or 2009, maybe we'll see three Roofs in the, major leagues in, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But that's kind of exciting. I'm sure Sean's really happy to see that mm-hmm. his brother got drafted, too. He got drafted by, I'm not sure if I can remember what team it was, but yeah, that was kind of exciting. I want to make sure I mentioned that. Otherwise, I think that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And it looks like it'll be 15 years in a row for the Buccos.
15 years. Yeah. All right, well, take your time. Good talking to you, and thanks for listening, everybody.